og så til filmnoter.
Velkommen til Filmnoter, der i dag byder på et helt særligt interview med sønnen til den første store filminstruktør i Finland i et samarbejde med det finske kulturinstitut i Danmark. Mit navn er Morten Vejlgaard Just. Matti Kasila. Få i Danmark kender navnet. I Finland regnes han sammen med Aki Kaurismäki for den største i kunsten at lave film. Over 30 film har Kasila på samvittigheden, der begyndte at lave film efter 2. verdenskrig, og som fortsatte helt op i 90'erne. Lige fra smalle, nybølgede film, der blev vist på filmfestivalerne i Berlin og Cannes, til den populære detektivserie om Inspektor Palmu. Jeg har talt med Matti Kasilas søn, Teemu Kasila, om den store instruktør, der også kæmpede med en dyster side, et stort alkoholmisbrug, der kan aflæses i hans film. Jeg besøgte Teemu Kasila til en kop te over en snak på engelsk for at finde ud af, hvem hans far var.
He lived his life, his young period of life in a place called Haapamäki, which at that time was a most famous sort of cross section of the, or not cross section, but the place where the railway tracks crossed, and it was a very important station there as far as the Finland's entire network of trains were concerned. His father was a sort of head of the station because he was the main train driver who came actually from St. Petersburg, where he was acting as the same in same position, and then he was hired to be head of this station in Finland, in Haapamäki. So that's where my father grew up with his siblings, and he always describes that how important that was his for his career, his choice of life, that he lived in next to this important where the tracks crossed and where the different tracks branched off to eastern part and others to the north and others to south and west. So to follow up just this very lively, you know, atmosphere there at the station, that was his upbringing, neighborhood, so to speak.
And why movies?
Oh, things led from one thing to another, but I think that he was taking part of the war, actually, and then he became ill in the war. He got kind of a yellow fever or something, and then he was sent back to Finland, and when he was recovering up in the hospital first, and then he was more sort of free there, he started to take a part of this theater entertainment group, and then that sort of led into his first profession, and that was to become an actor. So he was in this small city theater. He was an actor.
And here, right after the Second World War, in the late 40s, how was the Finnish film scene then?
Oh, I think it was following the same wave as you observed around the world and in around the Europe as well, that that people became quite excited about the movies, and it was kind of a miracle to see something like that. And that was the case with him as well, that he saw them first in this upbringing town where he was brought up. He saw those movies in tent or in halls. And so in a way, he was very excited about those things, as many other people were in the same time. And as he went to the main city on the capital of Finland, Helsinki, he was hired to become an actor in the theater there. And sometimes he acted, but then he felt that he needed something else. And he actually went to the movies quite a lot. And again, he felt that it was a kind of a profession that interested him a lot. And that's why he actually one day he just went to this Suomi Filmi, or I think it was called something else at that time, but Finnish, one of the biggest Finnish filmmaking companies. And he went and introduced himself and said that what he could do, and actually he was hired from the spot, and then he became actually general organizer first, and then later on he, as the Valentin Vaala, who is one of the great film directors of the past, and also from the, of course, black and white series and times, and also he made some how do you call the silent film periods. But he saw that my father had the skills. He was very organized, and he was very initiative, and he was initiating by himself things that he could help on the filmmaking. So that's why he was hired as an assistant then.
Now, I've seen a handful of your father's films. Would it be wrong to state that nature plays like a leading role in his pictures?
It's interesting to say that, but I think that in all the original Finnish stories, the nature plays an important role. Or it's very easy to see that it's there. Even in the city movies, there are few city movies that are totally based on the city life. Of course, when you tell the story, it can be very short, and that's why it's entirely there. But as far as the stories in general are considered, seen in Finnish stories or features, I think that the nature is very close there, and that's why, because the stories include the reality of Finnish people and their backgrounds and so on, the nature must be there. And so it's not totally that my father's choice is to picture them, but of course his background as well comes from countryside, or he lived in the sort of a nature surrounded area, and so I'm not totally sure that it's his choice, but yes.
But you can see it, for example, in the film called Blue Week from 1954. Tell about that film.
Yeah, that's interesting as well, that Blue Week is something that actually happens very close to Helsinki, the capital. But still, the nature is there. As I said just a minute ago, that so often the nature is there. And when people go and celebrate, in this case, when they celebrate in summer times, when the week's heavy work is over, then they go to countryside, or in this case they go to the island, of a nearby island, and which is quite barren, but of course trees and but not the houses, but people live in tents and so on, and they have a dance place there as well, and so they celebrate in this sort of remote place or isolated place, but and the whole drama happens there then, and that and the, yes, and it's a quite a drama.
Yeah, and it's about human nature, you could say. It's the very primal nature of people, of mankind, the lust for another human being.
Yeah, it is a drama. It is a strong drama and strong nature that is played there, played out in the scenes and in the story there. It is there. I would say that it's a usual, quite a normal triangle drama where there's a leading lady, as then there are two competing males around this story. But of course, it's much more than that, because it's also betrayal. But it's also the pictures of the times of the 50s when the sort of sexual freedom and liberation sort of takes its first steps. And you can really feel that how this forbidden fruit, so to speak, comes out in touch with nature as well. That nature itself is oftentimes sort of naturally, it is if not sexual, but it has the strong elements like that, that it sort of asks us to join the play of opposite sex, for instance. And that's what happens here. And first it is very innocent, but it grows up, and then it becomes sort of when the society again sort of approaches, or when the people come to play or to interact with the innocent part, then suddenly when the opinions and morals, they come into play, then it suddenly becomes a forbidden, or then we experience that in this forbiddenness in this movie story as well.
One of the male actors of this Blue Week, the husband, played by Toivo Mäkelä, he's also featuring in the film August from 1956. He seems important to your father and his work. Can you tell about that?
He was already a big name in Finnish films when my father started to work with him, and he was somewhat older. Let's say at least one generation older than my father. But as we spoke just a little bit earlier about this same aspect, I stated that they had some kind of a similar history in a certain particular area in their life, and that is their relationship to alcohol. I think both of them were oversensitive toward alcohol, that they actually, if one sort of says this in today's sort of a realistic manner, one would say that they should not have used alcohol at all. But you know how it goes, that oftentimes the alcohol or drugs even, they go so well, I don't know how well, but so often it is used in company with art or creative businesses or works. So in this case as well, they both used alcohol a lot, and even though it was not considered as a problematic, you know, but at that time perhaps, but as the picture and the film itself pictures the main character having that kind of problem, it is it's very understandable that how it becomes sort of quite good chemistry as and successful chemistry to picture what happens in a person like that, what happens in his mind or his thinking, his surrounding and so on.
So you think it's a very personal film that your father maybe kind of sees himself in the leading role of August?
Yeah, we have talked about this later many times actually, but I know that his answer is that yes, perhaps this is the case. But at that time, when the film was made, he was a young man and he didn't know or he didn't have an idea that of this sort that he would have a problem with alcohol. Maybe he was in, at that time he was still in his denial. but later on he agreed on this idea that yes, it is possible, it is very possible that I sort of had the sense and I knew what kind of underlined feelings or guilt kind of feelings, how they manifest in person, how he tries to hide things, how they are sort of double plays and how he lies to himself and to others.
I think that another returning theme when I saw these films, I noticed this focus on class differences. And it's very clear in the film The Red Line from 59. What is that film about and why this theme, you think?
The Red Line is pictures really the time of the and the problematic events around the time when Finland gets its voting rights for women. And Finland, as some might know, Finland was one of the first countries in the world to do this. I mean, Finland was number one in Europe, but third in the world to give the rights for women to vote as well. So this whole story pictures the events around this very poor countryside family who live not in their own house but in the cottage that's been given out by the owner of the land and owner of the properties and so it is a remote place where they can farm their land and pay their pays, but and the woman there who cannot read but who gets the vote rights, then the whole story tells about this how they struggle to get this done, it is a touching story. It is a very touching story of the events, real life events that took place in Finland and during this time. And even though it was a law, it was already common law, still it was very difficult to do and get other people and the neighborhood to admit that this is the right, that this is very important right for the poor old woman as well to get there and vote. And there are many, many people who tries to hinder that process as well. So.
And then again, the leading male dies at the end. It's a tragedy, and a lot of the films are tragedies. In August, the alcoholic lead, he dies of his alcohol abuse, and also in Blue Week, there's a suicide because of this love triangle. Mm. So it's not so uplifting films.
No, and you're right when you asked the question in the first place that did my father. Actually, or why did my father choose these kind of things? I believe that He had also a understanding of historical events of Finland, and he wanted to, because of his background, also from countryside and all historical, seeing certain historical development of the Finnish Finland, of Finnish society, and the struggles there. And this is the one aspect of it. But the other aspect is must be that we all, we Finns, we know about this another part of struggling. I mean, it's not, it has not been easy for Finnish people to maintain and live in this country so far in north and in harsh conditions, and this poor conditions as well. They are very common to all of us as part of our history. And I think that there is a certain, even though there would be a wealthy people and wealthy people who owns a lot, still there's this appreciation very much among the people of Finland of people who had been hardworking, people who had actually been able to work on the land and maintain and continue living here and creating slowly the culture around us. I mean, it's and as I said, you know, the nature is always there. The nature is always there that influences our choices or our creations that we do in sort of art world as well.
And then to something completely else. Tell me, who is Inspector Palmu?
Maybe Inspector Palmu is a mystery. Maybe it's the best answer. But of course it has kind of a idol, stories or idol figures somewhere in the storytelling history around the world, I'm sure. But of course, Mika Valtteri, who created the whole Palmu series and the first Palmu book, I think he wanted to create something his own. But then again, the storyteller continues and all the storyteller changes and it becomes my father who was the filmmaker who gives a characteristic figures to this Palmu figure. And this could be as well this Palmu with his mustache and with his whole appearance as a very tough and sort of stern man that who smokes cigar. One of his sort of idols for this picturing this like this could be, for instance, his film boss, who was sort of a mogul in the Finnish film. Toivo Särkkä is his name. And he was like this. I mean, one could say that they're almost sort of identical in some respect. Maybe it was a kind of joke as well that to picture him like this. But in the way, he is loved by Finnish people. And
This series of films of this police inspector who solves crime puzzles. It really became your father's popular breakthrough?
And that's what it is said, yes. But of course, I mean, I can say that there were previous films that are very good and excellent films. Even, I think, Eloku was made before that. Yes, it was made before. And seen in Blue Week as well. I mean, Harvest was the one, and Harvest Week or Harvest Month was one, and then the Blue Week, and there are several others as well as the Red Line, and so they were all made previously, before that, but of course, one could say that they established his famehood, if you like to say that it's a famehood. But those films, they are still loved by audience, and they are usually played year in and year out. At least once in a year, they are played on TV.
What would you say your father's legacy will be to the cinema?
I don't know. He's now 92, and he's in old people's home, and he suffered stroke, and he was somewhat changed after that. But now he's sort of come back a little bit, and he's able to analyze things and remember things more accurately. And suddenly he's there again criticizing things. But I don't know about legacy. I just said that to be true is something that he felt sort of utmost important. Actually, it comes to my mind that there's a Greek mythology, Greek philosophy. There's a things that goes well with this, and that's a truth, beauty, and goodness. So this actually three elements are something that I think that he valued a lot, and he thought that they should be in the film, in the story.
Det var dagens tørlagte noter. Kontakt redaktionen på facebook.com/filmnoter. På genhør.
Det er Morten Vejlgaard Just, der tilrettelægger filmnoter.